Hello, I'm Mike Clark, podcast editor for Trials Change Lives. Since 1992, people have participated in the work of Cochrane for a wide variety of reasons. Since the beginning, the importance of involving people with the condition has been a well-recognised component in ensuring that Cochrane reviews are relevant to decision makers. One such consumer is Maxine Whitten, who works with the Cochrane Skin Group, based in Nottingham, England. I'm delighted that she has agreed to tell us her story in this evidence pod.
I've had vitiligo since I was 12 years old. Growing up in Jamaica, I was fortunate to have a loving family, and as the disease was not widespread and not on exposed areas apart from my lips, I never experienced teasing or discrimination. I came to London to join my father and study French. After I got my degree, I did a teacher training postgraduate course, but found it difficult to teach in the secondary modern school, which was my first job. After a few more years in different schools, I gave up teaching altogether. I had treatment after my son was born, but relied on cosmetic camouflage to hide the vitiligo on my face. Later, I was a participant in a trial of a new treatment which was discontinued and never published. I was also a research patient for 3 years using this treatment, which greatly improved the condition, but it later reappeared. My life changed when I got a part-time job as librarian in the biosciences department at what is now the University of East London, UEL. I was encouraged to study for and obtained a postgraduate diploma in librarianship. My job as a chartered librarian involved identifying relevant papers for the academics, teaching the students how to do literature searches, as well as normal library duties. My vitiligo was spreading, and one of the psychology postgraduate students noticed my increasing depression and suggested I watch a TV program on vitiligo. It was about a young woman with extensive vitiligo who bravely appeared in a swimsuit. Incredible! As a result, I went to a meeting at St. Thomas's Hospital, where I met 150 other people with vitiligo. Amazing. I had never seen anyone else with it. The Vitiligo Group, now the Vitiligo Society, was formed. My job at UEL started my quest for information about vitiligo. I did not realize then that this would lead to my third career, albeit post-retirement and unpaid. I became chairman of the Vitiligo Society and helped to set up a medical advisory panel. I met dermatologists and scientists working in the field and was horrified to discover that few GPs understood vitiligo and there was a lack of support and help for vitiligo patients. The stories of those who came to the Society for help and advice could be distressing, but somehow helping them helped me too. My involvement with Cochrane began when I heard Professor Howell Williams speak at a dermatology conference. He encouraged me to attend a meeting of the Skin Group, aimed at recruiting members from the skin charities. Patients could play a role in research. Fantastic! I joined immediately and started searching journals for dermatology trials with two fellow members of the Vitiligo Society, also retired. We would spend a day at the library at St. Thomas's Hospital, searching journals and photocopying trials. I found some vitiligo trials in the process, but soon realized that there were not many, and they were of poor quality. I desperately wanted to do something, but what? The moment came when I was sitting next to Sir Ian Chalmers on a coach in South Africa at the Cape Town Colloquium. He suggested I could lead a review. The very thought of it! I had no knowledge of statistics, was not a scientist or a doctor. But he convinced me that enthusiasm and time were crucial and that a statistician could be found to join the author team. The Skin Group gave me a lot of support. I also got help from Steve Milan of Airways Group and went to training sessions in Oxford and got stipends to attend meetings and colloquia. And so the first Vitiligo Review was born and published in 2006. We only found 19 poor quality trials searching back to 1966. But this experience opened up many opportunities and led to two updates in 2010 and 2015. I was privileged to be asked to be part of the team preparing guidelines for vitiligo. At one of the guideline meetings, I was asked what I would consider successful repigmentation, perhaps 50%. I was taken aback. No one in vitiligo would call that successful. Although from my experience I knew 100% is not easy, if not impossible to achieve, it is what patients would want. We settled for 75%. Since those early days, my life has been one long adventure, being part of NICE Partners Council when it was first set up, joining Involve, the James Lind Alliance, being on the patient panel of my local hospital, on the patient panel of the Centre of Evidence-Based Dermatology, patient representative on the UK Dermatology Clinical Trials Network, leading the vitiligo workstream of an NIHR program grant application, involved in developing vitiligo trials, speaking about vitiligo to trainees at my GP practice, co-authoring a chapter in a textbook and papers in journals, presenting posters and speaking at scientific meetings, producing a podcast, and most important of all, updating the Cochrane Review, which assessed 96 trials, and all because I have vitiligo.
One thing that Maxine didn't mention is that the enormous contribution she has made in what she calls her third career has also earned her the much-deserved award of an MBE in the UK. Her story highlights key roles for patients and the public in Cochrane Reviews, and if you'd like to find out more about how you might get involved in this work, visit the website consumers.cochrane.org.